Our last presenter is Dr. Jean McSweeney, who is a professor at the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences, and she will present on symptom presentation description by women. I have to tell you, when I first came to the NINR, a report of her study was on the front page of the CNN website. So I've been looking forward to meeting her for years. Now that you've all had your cookies, now I'm going to talk to you about heart disease in women. So, and I know those cookies had fat in them that wasn't good for you. I want to point out to you, first of all, the problem with heart disease in women. And if you look at this graph, men are in blue and women are in red. And it's very disturbing to see that about 1983, women's mortality rates surpassed men. And for the last 50 years or so, women really have not benefited very much from the research that we've been doing in heart disease. And so that's good for me and my research, but it's not been very good for women. Some things you might not know about women versus men after they experience a myocardial infarction: not only do they have more chance of dying, but after they live through a myocardial infarction or MI, women are more likely to die in the first year, they're twice as likely to be disabled with congestive heart failure, and they're twice as likely to have a recurrence. And with these statistics, it's really troubling that we have not done more to prevent heart disease in women. There are several obstacles to detection and treatment of CHD in women. First of all, much of the current prevention, diagnosis, and treatment are extrapolated from clinical trials of primarily white men. We also have a lack of CHD symptom recognition by women and providers alike. It's not just providers' fault and it's not just women's fault, but it's a combination of all of us missing these early signs and symptoms. When we miss these signs and symptoms, women tend to delay in seeking treatment. And when physicians and healthcare providers miss these, it leads to late diagnosis. And we have a lost window of opportunity, which then we see these negative side effects of disability. So I have been doing research for the past 10 years or so with women and heart disease. And I have to tell you that when I talk with doctoral students particularly, they look at my program of research and think I planned this. And I have to tell them that I did not plan this at all. I started off studying something else with women after MI, and they began to tell me about their early warning or prodromal symptoms. And I paid attention to it, and I did a series of early qualitative studies. And what I did was to collect every symptom, every early warning prodromal symptom, and every acute symptom that diverse women told me, developed a tool, which is our MAP-MIS, that contains 33 prodromal and 37 acute symptoms. Our first study that I'm going to report on was funded by NINR, and it's Women's Prodromal and Acute Symptoms of MI. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this study, and then I'm going to compare the results of this study with some preliminary results from a second study that we're just completing. The purpose was, first of all, to determine the most frequent prodromal and acute symptoms of MI in women and to explore how or if these prodromal and acute symptoms relate to comorbidities and cardiac risk factors. You can see with this sample description, it was 515 women. They were primarily white, high school educated, the average 66 years of age, not very well-to-do women. They were all discharged within the previous 4 to 6 months with a diagnosis of MI at 5 sites across the United States and had to be cognitively intact. So this was a retrospective descriptive study. Prodromal symptoms are defined as the women defined them to me in the qualitative studies. These are symptoms that come and go prior to and change after the MI, and that is important. That's why we interview them 4 to 6 months afterwards. They have to have time to recognize that these symptoms have indeed changed after they had their MI. 95% of the women in this study experienced at least one prodromal symptom. 78% reported symptoms of greater than a month prior to MI, meaning we had time to intervene. The mean number of prodromal symptoms per woman was 5.71. Now, the most frequent prodromal symptoms, those of you that are familiar with my work, these are not surprising. Unusual fatigue, and I always get asked about this. It's the number one symptom in every study. It usually impacts women's ability to perform their activities of daily living. This isn't just being tired at the end of the day. It's an unexplainable fatigue. Sleep disturbance, shortness of breath, indigestion, and anxiety were also frequently reported prodromal symptoms. Now, where, if they had discomfort, where was it located? Because this is typically how we get people referred for diagnostic workup, is if they have some kind of anginal episode. When women did experience any type of discomfort, and they called it discomfort rather than pain, it was centered high in the chest, general chest, back or shoulder blade area, left arm, shoulder, or left breast. And you can see these percents are not very high. Now, acute symptoms are those symptoms which persist or intensify, leading to a diagnosis of an MI, and all women obviously reported acute symptoms with a mean of 7.3. The most frequent acute symptoms, we did not see any surprises in here from previous studies. Shortness of breath was the first with 58%, weakness, unusual fatigue, cold sweat, dizziness, and nausea. Now, locations of acute discomfort. If you noticed, these are not, again, as high as our other symptoms, but they were centered high in the chest. 31% of the women complained of some type of discomfort. And again, oftentimes women never described this as pain, but simply described it as discomfort. It was almost as likely to be in the left arm and shoulder as it was to be in the back and shoulder blade area, general chest, then followed by the left breast. Now, of the women that experienced chest discomfort, 59% of those who did experience eventually described it as becoming severe. Oftentimes, it starts out extremely mild and does not become more severe or what we would classify as typical pain until they are into the emergency room, well into the infarct itself. But the most surprising statistic probably from this study is that 43% of the women reported no acute chest pain or discomfort at all during their acute MI. Now, we also wanted to calculate a score because we wanted to look at the intensity and frequency of the prodromal symptoms, because we really don't know how intensity and frequency might relate to being helping us to be able to diagnose them earlier. Acute symptom score is calculated just by the intensity, because there's no frequency, because once it's there, it stays there until diagnosis. And then we simply sum this to create an overall score. The average prodromal score was 58.5, and if they had every single prodromal symptom and the highest intensity and highest frequency, they could have a total of, I think it's 590. We have a lot of symptoms that are only reported by just a couple of women, but since we are early into this research, we did not want to eliminate any of these symptoms. Average acute score was 16.5 out of a possible around 100 or so. And these two scores did correlate with one another. We did not have any control groups, so what we wanted to do was to at least look and see if the healthy women had these same symptoms or not. So what we did was to ask 100 self-identified healthy women who had never been diagnosed or had any kind of cardiovascular episode, and ask them to complete the prodromal section of our instrument. And as you can see, I'm reporting on a few of these symptoms, but I looked at the most common prodromal symptoms in our women with CHD. And you can see that women with CHD reported significantly more prodromal symptoms than healthy women do. Now, the healthy women group were just as likely as women with MI to experience discomfort in the chest, back, left arm, and shoulder. And when we saw this, I think every one of us were absolutely flabbergasted. And we have known for a long time that chest pain is not a very good indicator of heart disease in women. We send them for cardiac cath and they come back negative if we send them for chest pain. And we began to see why this could be happening in our healthy women sample. Also, healthy women reported a fewer number of symptoms and less intense and frequent symptoms than those with MI. Our second study, and this is preliminary, it's called, we call it our Disparities Grant, and it is with Black and Hispanic women. And it follows exactly the same protocol as we did in the previous study, but I'm only going to be presenting preliminary analysis from the Black women in this study. And I'm going to be comparing this with our first study that I just presented to you. Our first study was 93% Black, and understand that we have 6.2% women who are Black in this first study, but 100% women in the second study. And we will be separating this out when we do our final analysis. You can see the mean age was slightly different, but the age ranges were pretty similar. And we compared the most frequent prodromal symptoms. We wanted to see if there was a difference by race. And you can see the significant differences here. And Black women, if you notice, have higher percentages in each one of these categories, with 78% of the Black women reporting unusual fatigue versus 71% of predominantly white women, 53% with anxiety, and 44% of heart racing versus those numbers, opposite numbers in our predominantly white women. We also looked at the number of prodromal symptoms. Black women are reporting a larger number, a significantly larger number of prodromal symptoms than our white women do, and they also have higher intensity and frequency as documented with the prodromal score. We also looked at acute symptoms to see if we saw differences there, and you can see once again that Black women are reporting more of shortness of breath. They report more unusual fatigue, they report more feeling hot and flushed, and a greater degree of dizziness than the white women do. Now, the locations of discomfort, you can see differences here, and there's some similarities and some differences. Pretty close on centered, in the center of the chest, those are pretty comparable there. Our largest differences probably are in the left breast area, with Black women reporting more discomfort in that area. We also looked at the mean scores then for acute, and you can see that Black women reported a greater number of acute symptoms, 8.45 versus 7.3 for predominantly white women, and again, significant difference with intensity and frequency when we are, I'm sorry, with just intensity when we calculated our acute score. We did a regression analysis, and to save time, I put these both together from study one and study two. We look at risk factors and comorbidities, and these are very common ones. We've controlled for 10 of these, such as hypertension, diabetes, obesity, lack of exercise, etc. So risk factors and comorbidities accounted for 9.4% of the variability of acute scores with prodromal score, and adding an additional 33.2%. In Black women, risk factors and comorbidities accounted for 11.7%, and the prodromal score added an additional 37.8%. So you can see we think that we have prodromal scores can certainly help us in early diagnosis. In conclusions of these two studies, over 95% of the women did experience prodromal symptoms in both studies. Black women had more prodromal and acute symptoms than white women, and the prodromal and acute symptoms were significantly correlated in both groups. For translation into practice, which is where we all want to get our work so that we can impact practice as soon as possible to help our subjects, we do have more clinicians now assessing for prodromal symptoms. I wouldn't say we have enough, but at least we have people aware of it. I get lots of emails from women and from providers themselves asking for more clarification about this. Our first study, which was published in Circulation, is now required reading for board recertification for ER physicians. And this was probably something that made me the happiest of all, because this is where a lot of women are sent home from emergency room. And this, at least, they are becoming familiar with some of the symptoms that are predominant in women. And certainly the media has done a wonderful job of focusing on women's symptoms for CHD, both in the lay literature and professional literature. And we do have continuing support by NINR. We've just started our newest grant, which is predicting CHD events in Black and white women. Everything we've had up to this point has been retrospective. We are now going to be collecting data on about 1,500 women. We will be looking at black and white women. We're going to be recruiting subjects who have been referred for first-time cardiovascular diagnostic evaluation, following them over a two-year period, and we will be calling them and doing a telephone interview every 3 months with the prodromal section of our instrument so that we can then see who is going to go on to experience an event and who is not. We're hoping to develop a very concise instrument that could be, or screener that could be administered in perhaps family practice offices along with risk factor evaluation and help us to really figure out how we can get women to for diagnostic evaluation much sooner. And I want to end with saying that you're never too young or too old to take care of your heart. And this is my grandson and my mother, and so of course they're special to me, but we all need to take care of our heart. We need to start at very young ages. And certainly we know that if we take care of our hearts, we can live long, healthy lives. Thank you.